Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the gospel lesson. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent and harmless as doves, but beware of men. This is our text. Let me see. So if you've been watching TV over the last couple of weeks, you've probably come to see that this world is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. Whether it was the death of George Floyd, or the killing of Officer Dorn in St. Louis, or rioting, or looting, or the language and the vandalism, the world is not a pleasant place to travel through. The Bible calls us pilgrims, those on our way through this world, but Jesus tells us not to set our hearts and minds on this world. For it will not satisfy us. It will not sustain us. It was ruined in the fall, and so it comes with thorns and thistles and other things much more serious to trouble us. We live in an interesting country. We have a system of government which does not assume that men can be trusted with power. So where all the idea of trust, where does that idea come from? Who can we trust? Who can we trust? You hear it all the time. Where does that idea come from? It doesn't come from the scriptures, by the way. It comes from very high arrogance among men and women of the last couple hundred years. It betrays an arrogance that is ignorance. We have a system of government which does not assume that men can be trusted with power, but rather, because men are not angels. Our founding fathers said that in one way or another over and over again. We have a series of checks and balances to prevent the people in power from abusing their power. And under those checks and balances, we have scads and scads of folk who administer and oversee the various people in office and in all of these stations in life, whether it be the police forces, the Justice Department, the military. You can go on and on and on. And these people are accountable, and they're bound by all sorts of rules and laws because men are not angels. That's what the founders knew. They couldn't be trusted. Even in accounting, you have what's called GAAP, GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. Why? Because men can't be trusted. You have to set up systems and account things that will watch over us. I think that during the last couple of weeks, this has again been proven to us. Human beings can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. For some, the call is to fix it once and for all. We want to live in a place where there are no more criminals, no more abusive cops, no more racism. We want to live in a place like that. Coleman Hughes, a black man who is interesting, to say the least, right now, he's been talking about this. He says, these people look at things in a very unbalanced, unstable way. He says, we got rid of smallpox. We actually marked a day when we could not find another bit of smallpox. We've gotten rid of it, and we marked that day, and we consider it a triumph. And he says, we're going to do that also with racism. No, he doesn't say that. He says people try to. He says racism is more like murder. And while you would like to stop all murder, it doesn't happen, does it? Why is that? I mean, surely there's got to be a system where we can force people to act the right way. Or can we? Is that what Jesus says? We hear people talking all the time, and it's begun to really ring in my ears and bother me because, and I'm sure if you've watched any of my sermons, you know that this is something that I'm preaching through, this whole business going on around us. But I'm starting to hear what's called scapegoating. Let me tell you what scapegoating is. Scapegoating happened in Germany in the 1930s. The Jews were referred to as blood-sucking tapeworms, bloodsuckers, tapeworms, thieves. And of course, they don't and shouldn't live anymore. So we'll provide a solution for this. There's the debate about how many people exactly died. 6 million is the number given. It's called scapegoating. Now, people think that it's the Western white people who have this, what they call the original sin of our nation being racism. As I said, that is, there should be nobody paying serious attention to that idea. Nobody, not one person should ever give that idea a second thought because it is a pitiful attempt to pervert what God teaches. But just lest you think that it's only the white people who caused these problems, Germany, you can go to the Hutus in Rwanda in 1994. And before they went ahead and killed maybe 800,000, maybe a million Tutsis, both blacks, they would call the Tutsis cockroaches. Famous thing if you ever watch any of the movies. Cockroaches, they call them. They're cockroaches. That whole group of people are cockroaches. And of course, if you want to include yellow people, we could, if you want to use that term. You can go to Cambodia or Vietnam, but go to Cambodia. For the Marxists there, said anybody who wears glasses, anybody who's educated, needs to be gotten rid of, and they killed maybe a couple million of their own people. It's easy to blame a whole group indiscriminately, scapegoating, searching for someone to blame, wanting to say, those are the people that have caused our problems. We live in a world that likes to think this way. It's really simple. It's really clean. It's really demonic. Demonic. We live in a world in which we'd like to think that we know those who are the good people and those who are evil, the evil people. We live in a world that constantly talks about trusting people. And yet, the Bible tells us in John chapter 2, verse 24, but Jesus didn't entrust himself to men because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And so in our text for today, he says, beware of men. Wow. That doesn't do much for your self-esteem, does it? Doesn't lift people up. Well, the people with the highest self-esteem right now reside in correctional facilities and prisons. They have the highest self-esteem. They think a lot about themselves. Beware of men. And then, in our text for today, he says that I send you out. Love sends out sheep into the midst of wolves. Make sense of that one for me for a minute. Love sends out sheep into the midst of wolves. Doesn't seem like a fair fight. Doesn't seem like the sheep have what they need to stand, do they? Not against wolves. I don't think there's any question that, generally speaking, the wolves are going to win the battle. But I think the Lord is trying to deal with us especially with his disciples as he gets ready to send them out. He wants them to think appropriately about what they're doing in this world. It's a matter of pride which runs through much of modern man's and his thought that he knows who is good and who is evil. We trust our eyes, our ears, our intuition, our feelings. I'm so tired of feelings. I've had it with feelings. Feelings tell you nothing, 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 unless you go back and figure out what they're coming from and what they're about. Where, what are they connected to? Feelings are not things that just float around and land on you. Feelings are connected to something. But you got to find out the substance. So I'm really kind of tired of that. But we've lived among all these people all our lives. That's like, these are good people. We've lived next to them. We've lived around them. We've spent our time with all these people. You can trust them. Beware of men. You Christians, if they listen to Christ, understand. They understand this. They get it right. These people would never hurt us. We have psychologists and sociologists who will tell us what the average person is like. Except there's no such thing as an average person. We can take signs to figure out, signs and tests and all these other things. We can figure out personality tests. We can figure out who's going to be the good person and who's not. We can give them a battery of psychological testing, and that will tell us what this person is like. We can see their character. We can see their very soul. Psychology, psyche in the Greek, means the study of the soul. But of course it doesn't. Jesus tells us to beware of men. What a statement. It should humble everyone. It should humble you if you have ever thought, well, I can figure out who to trust. Beware of men. Who's right, you or Jesus? He knows what's in your heart even before you do. He knows what's going to be on your lips even before you do. Who knows you better than you know yourself? And you're going to tell Jesus how this all works in this world. That's fascinating. It should humble everyone, especially those who are too arrogant to believe they can't figure out who to trust. Or that they can figure out. Excuse me, I went backwards on that one. Those are the people who need to hear these words very clearly. And those who ignore the Lord's teaching on original sin. There is no one good, not even one. Human beings are at heart corrupted by original sin. There is no one who does good, no, not one. And each one of us bears, even as a Christian, we bear this old sinful nature. And it drives us to do the things that we don't want to do. But we have Jim Wallace, a Marxist, kind of a theologian who tries to mix Marxism and Christianity, an advisor to President Obama, who said that he wrote the book, The Original Sin of America. It's racism. It's not. Original sin is what produces all manner of evil. All manner of evil. See, God calls upon us to be perfectly loving toward everybody. We, if we are wrong, cannot respond in kind. We are to do no evil, ever. We are not to take vengeance, ever. And yet we seem to be a world awash in vengeance and other things. The Lord's teaching on original sin is that there is not one human being who is good. No, not one. We are each plagued with sinful natures, corrupted by original sin. It produces all manner of sin. What we do at certain times is we say that certain sins are the big sins that we want to talk about. And God says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The big sins. Where'd you get that idea from? Who came up with that bad dream? We all bear the same failings, weakness, corruption, and so we are not called upon to trust men, but to beware of them, to be cautious and alert of the dangers that they possess, for they will deliver you, the Lord warns. The Lord warns us and reminds us that we are going out as sheep among wolves. Wolves, is that the way you think of others? That's not very flattering. No, that's the way God refers to you and me in our sinful nature. We are wolves. People to be afraid of by nature. In whom there is no good thing. There's no spark that some politicians want to say. It seems quite harsh, especially in light of the mission which Christ gives to his disciples. Why would anybody, especially a sheep, go out into the midst of wolves? It seems so odd. But he doesn't go out sending his sheep to go out and figure out who they can trust. The person who is worthy is the one who receives the word. And so it's their reflection. When he talks about going into a house, he says, who will receive the words? They're willing to listen. That's what Heath Curtis says, I think, so beautifully when he says the job of the church is not to do anything but look for those people who are desirous of the bloody word of Christ. The sheep have little more than the simple word given by the Lord. Sheep don't stand a chance among wolves by virtue of their own powers. And maybe that's what Jesus is trying to do. When you go out into the world, you have no... You've got no power. You're vulnerable. Maybe he wants us to give up this idea. Give up on it. It's what's created the mess that we live in right now. It's what sustained it. The Enlightenment, if you know your ages, the Enlightenment is created this whole problem with racism. It comes out of liberal, and I don't mean liberal's a bad word. It comes out of ideas that were ideas that cast off the Bible. 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. People began to think in ways that Christians have never thought that way. Christians have not been racists unless they stumbled into sin. The Bible doesn't allow you to be a racist. That's why you dare not say that that whole group of people is that. We have no ability to stand on our own power. We're not to trust in ourselves, no matter what we would like to think of our abilities, our commitments, our self-reflection. We're not to trust in ourselves. That's exactly what it means to be sheep among wolves. Quit trusting yourself. Quit believing in yourself. Quit with the silliness of modern Enlightenment thinking and actually come back to the road where the truth is spoken. For we can't stand on earth in our own power. Martin Luther put it this way when he was reflecting on Psalm 46 in the hymn of Mighty Fortress. On earth is not his equal. Between the devil or a demon and a man, there is no contest. The man can't win. And then Paul goes on and he reminds us that our battle's not against flesh and blood. Okay, so when you take up and think that you're going to solve the world's problems by attacking flesh and blood, you have now walked away from Christianity wholesale. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, not your intellect, not your capacities, not in the group of the collective, this large group of people who is going to be strong and create heaven on earth. Those are delusions. Those are madman dreams. But be strong in the power of his might. And all of those things are gospel things. Those are things in which God tells us. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Those are all things that God works and gives through the gospel. I'm not going to talk about it this morning. That's why Jesus can say, be harmless as doves. You see, that's what sheep generally are in the midst of wolves. But God does not send us out to fight against the wolves tooth and claw. We don't need those things. We come with what the scriptures tell us is a wisdom from above. We come to people with this message spoken by a sheep, embodied in the work of the Lamb of God who came to save us. He didn't come with swords and lightning bolts and superhero powers. He came into our world. And he was betrayed into the hands of sinful human beings. And he hung on a cross. And our sins were nailed to that cross. And he paid for the sins of the wolves. He paid for the sins of the murderers. In Psalm 16 it says he entrusted himself into the hands of God. That's what we do. And so Paul says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. These things we speak, chapter 2, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. I want you to think about that, man's wisdom. Be harmless as doves, wise as serpents. There's a wisdom that overcomes the ways of the world. In our world, the ways are kill whatever we don't like, whatever gets in our way, whatever has offended or hurt us. God says, no, I'll die for the ones who have offended you. I'll pay the price for those who have hurt you. I'll die so that you don't have to continue in your warring madness. I'll die so that you might know what true peace is. First, beginning with peace with God. Christ comes into this world, even as the wolves attack, the men hand over the sheep. He comes into the world and the word of reconciliation goes forth. This word, the power of God, is preached by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, I must go and preach. And he overcomes wolves and betrayers and murderers. Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And yet this Christ met Saul on the road to Emmaus, or on the road, and sent Ananias to preach to him. A terrified Ananias. And that word of the gospel of Christ, the Lamb of God, who comes, that word has the only power to convert a wolf into a sheep, a murderer into someone who sees life as the answer to the problems in this world. We sang about it in that hymn so beautifully. He comes to bring life. He converts wolves into sheep. He converts murderers into those who preach the word of life. That's what Paul was. And what we'd like to think is, well, we got to go find those good people. The people from our side of the tracks. You know what? Everyone that... Well, let's talk about the murderers just for a minute. We'd like to think that we're the good people, and there's those bad people over there. What about Moses? You think he's one of the good people? No, he's a murderer. What about David? Adulterer, murderer. What about Saul? Paul? Murderer. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. All those who hate their brother. He comes to save, to rescue those who hate their brother. Who want to see them dead. That's what it means to hate. I don't want to smell you, hear you, see you. I want you, if I could possibly put you there, 6 feet under, I never want to see you again. But this one comes and says, I'll change your heart and your mind so that we spend eternity together in heaven. The heaven that was earned by the Lamb of God who suffered at the hands of murderous men. Injustice. You see, there is no human being on this earth who deserves to be treated well. Isn't that fascinating? There's only one man who's ever walked the earth who never deserved injustice or never deserved to be punished. The scripture says that if you've stumbled in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. You're damned. He's the only one. And yet he went through the worst of injustice to save those of us who couldn't stand under the justice of God. He took our place and rose again. We all need to be saved, converted through that word. We need to be changed from murderers and men who people should beware of into lambs, sheep. And we will be sustained by that word. And we will be restored by that word. Remember, David was the apple of God's eye. He sang the Psalms, but he stumbled over Bathsheba and Uriah, committing adultery and killing Uriah. But he was restored by the word, picked up. Saul, who should have known better, who should have known the word, was a rabbi gone wrong, became a wolf. He was turned back into a sheep, converted. Jesus tells his disciples that his servants would be instruments, that when they stand before men, the mission would not rely on them, but that the Lord would speak through them. That comforts us, doesn't it? It reminds us, first and foremost, that the office of the ministry is not what a man thinks. Don't make it about the man, ever. That's a fool's errand. For listen to what Jesus says. When you are handed over, or when you're standing in front of the authorities, when they want to kill you and threaten you to tell you to shut up, and Peter would eventually just get in the middle of this in Acts chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. But it will be for you, given you in that hour. Don't worry about what you're going to speak. It will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. You can go forth and stand before any enemy, any power, and the gates of hell will not prevail. But the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you will do a miracle that nothing, no political system, no gun, no weapon. Paul says in Ephesians 1, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What comfort this provides to all who take seriously the work of mission, who wander out among the wolves, among those kinds of men out there, and wonder if they will be able to confess, to stand in the gap in the midst of wolves who are snarling and wanting to destroy them. And the answer is yes. Paul says to Timothy, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God sends us out, but not alone, not in our own power, but in the power of his might. What do you trust to get things done in our world? By nature, we trust our eyes, our ears, our senses. But the Lord calls us to trust in him alone, to rest in his power and strength, which can change a wolf into a sheep. A sheep which bravely goes out into the world proclaiming the power of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins, our sins, on the cross. Boasting about Christ, his cross, his love, his grace, his power, which can swallow up all our true enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Yes, he sends us out in the midst of wolves, his sheep, and we are safe in his love and grace. Amen.